This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد
نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. All praise and thanks belong to Allah the Most High, the Exalted. We thank Him and we seek His help and aid and ask Him to forgive us. And we seek His protection from the evil of ourselves and the sins that we commit. Indeed, whosoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray. And whosoever Allah leads astray, no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah alone. That Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave and messenger. The best of speech is the book of Allah. And the best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the words of religious matters are those that are innovated. And every religious innovation is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is misguidance. And every misguidance will be in hellfire. Amma ba'd, before I start, I would like to also remind everybody to put their phones away. So that if you're distracted by them, if you're playing with them while the khutbah is going on, you sacrifice the reward of your khutbah, the reward of your salah. It goes away. And similarly also not to talk to your neighbor. Not to give them salam and not to answer their salam. To be exclusively focused on the khutbah. Because even the one who commands good and forbids evil in the khutbah, the Prophet ﷺ says, فَقَدْ لَغَى, had committed idle speech. وَمَنْ لَغَى فَلَا جُمْعَةَ لَهُ, the one who does that has no reward for his jum'ah. So leave everything else and listen for a few minutes to the khutbah, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts and minds so that we can benefit from it, bi-idhnillah. We're now in the month of Sha'ban. And this just started. And with that, the real countdown to the month of Ramadan begins. And for us to understand how to get ready for the month of Ramadan, the value of the month of Sha'ban, what are we supposed to do in it? We have to seek guidance from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had legislated. And from other acts of worship that tell us about a pattern that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had instituted in whatever He has commanded and what is His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has practiced. You notice in the salah, there is most of the time in the obligations, there is a sunnah before, a sunnah after. Sunnah that precedes and sunnah that follows. A lot of the salahs, the obligations have them. And you look at the month of Ramadan, and interestingly, that pattern is there also. There's something that comes before the month of Ramadan and something that comes after. There's a fasting before the month of Ramadan and a fasting after. And this fasting, the Shawwal, the 6 days of Shawwal that follow Ramadan, and the fasting on the month of Sha'ban and other acts of worship before Ramadan, act as the sunnah before the month of Ramadan and after. And if you want to understand, if I want to understand what this does, let's go to the salah. What is the sunnah before the salah and after does to us? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we may not fully understand the complete wisdom behind it, but at least we can try to decipher some. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us before the obligation a sunnah? And sometimes we have after the obligation another sunnah. What are we supposed to do with it? And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us something about our religion and something about life in general. Before you start any new task, you always need to transition to it. And after you finish that time for that particular task, you also need a transition time after it. And only then will that task be complete, with a transition in and a transition out. When you think about the obligations, Salatul Dhuhr, Salatul Asr, Maghrib prayer, Isha prayer, Fajr prayer, there is the obligation. This is the thing that we have to do. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without obligating this on anyone, but He is telling us, this is for you if you want to climb higher. He's saying, before you go into your salah, here is practice. Here is a practice for your salah. Before your fajr, before your dhuhr, before your asr, here is a practice for your salah. What does it do? When you start your wudu, 5, 10, 15 minutes before the actual time of the salah, start your wudu. And then when you hear the adhan, you start praying the sunnah. You are physically and emotionally and also intellectually focused. You're in the right mindset. You are rehearsing for what is going to come later. You are focusing and detaching. Detaching from what came before. And sharpening your concentration on what is going to come after. So your body is practicing the act of the salah before the obligation even starts. And your heart is getting ready to be attuned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before the obligation starts, and your mind is focused on what's going to come next and trying to detach from what came before and trying also to extract the benefits of the salah from it. So you are rehearsing and practicing. And now when the actual time of the obligation starts, you are ready, or as ready as you can be, for the greatest gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To know what you're saying in your Quran, in your ruku' and in your sujood. Why? Are you ready? Because you practice. And there are sometimes a sunnah that follows your salah. Why is that there? As with any task, the allotted time of that task ends, but you find yourself needing to wrap things up. Loose ends. And with the sunnah, you do exactly that thing. The time for the obligation is over, but you may feel that there are things that you still need to say that you have not said. Things that need compensation. And you need that extra to be able to compensate for them. Something you neglected in your sujood, in your ruku', in your reading. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, here is a time for you to wrap everything up. To say things that you did not say. To finish what you wanted to finish. So the sunnah before and the sunnah after act as the preparation and the conclusion for any act. Here it is, the salah. Now when you come to the siyam, it does exactly the same thing. Subhanallah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to practice this. One time one of the sahaba comes to the Prophet and he says, Ya Rasulullah, ma li araka tasumu min sha'ban, ma la tasumu min ghayri. He said, Prophet of Allah, why is it that I'm seeing you fast in the month of sha'ban more than any other month, excluding Ramadan? More than any other month. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, شهر شعبان بين رجب ورمضان. شهر شعبان, this month of شعبان is between رجب and رمضان. يغفل عنه كثير من الناس. A lot of people neglect it and don't pay attention to it. ترفع فيه الأعمال إلى الله. The actions, the deeds that we commit are raised to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for review and acceptance. ترفع فيه الأعمال إلى الله فأحب أن يرفع عملي فيه وأنا صائم. So I love that my action would be raised to Allah while I am fasting. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions two reasons why he's fasting so much from the month of Sha'ban. In fact, Aisha radiallahu anha would say that he would fast all of the month of Sha'ban, all of the month of Sha'ban except a little bit. That is, most of the month of Sha'ban, the Prophet ﷺ is fasting. This is his habit. And he gives us two reasons for fasting it. One is, this is a one month that people don't pay attention to. They focus on Sha'ban. They're ready for Ramadan. But that month in the middle goes unnoticed. And there is a virtue to worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at times and places where He is not worshipped. Where you're the only one who's doing it, or you're among the few, because you're not doing it then out of riyah or showing off or because of habit. You're doing it because you want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's that first virtue to the month of Sha'ban. But there is another one. This annual review of our deeds. We have weekly ones. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that when the angels write all of your deeds in your book, in your record, that record is raised up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows about everything that we've done. But it's being raised, why? For review and then acceptance. Are you going to be rewarded for these things or not? Are they going to be accepted or rejected? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that I want to be in the form, in the type of worship, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is even more likely to accept my deeds. And this form is fasting. I want to be fasting so that Allah accepts my year's work. And that tells you there's a hint here about the virtue of Ramadan itself. Because whatever you're doing it while you are fasting. So that is an added virtue in Ramadan, but that is for a later khutbah. But here in the month of Sha'ban, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells you, Allah is reviewing your deeds. That's why we're fasting. The ulama also have said there's another reason. And that other reason is that you're getting ready for the month of Ramadan. You are preparing for the month of Ramadan. And you see from the example of the Prophet ﷺ and also from the example of the early Muslims, that when the month of Sha'ban comes in, they have Ramadan in sight. What is it that I want to do in Ramadan? What is it that I want to leave in the month of Ramadan? And they start in the month of Sha'ban. So they used to call the month of Sha'ban the month of Qurra, Shahrul Qurra, the month of the people of Quran. When the month starts, they start reading more and more of the Quran. What does this do? The fasting and reading of the Quran, what does this do? It gets you attuned, ready. It builds up your iman and builds up your stamina, religious stamina. So that when the month of Ramadan comes, you don't have to struggle with ibadah. You don't have to be distracted with your own weaknesses, impeded by your own boredom or weakness, religiously or physically. No, you got ready for all of this. You got ready for the fast because you've been fasting before. You've got ready for the Quran. And if you have not practiced reading the Quran, what will happen in the month of Ramadan is that you're going to take few or many days of Ramadan for your practice. These days will go away struggling with yourself, struggling with your heart, struggling with your mind. I want to read, but I'm not ready for it. I want to read, but I'm not used to it. And you keep struggling. But the pious understand, and the Prophet ﷺ also understood, that if you want to get ready for something important, you transition into it. And this is the transition into Ramadan right now. So you have to ask yourself, before thinking about food, and what will be cooked in the month of Ramadan, before thinking about who am I going to invite and where am I going to go, before thinking about the social aspect of Ramadan that sometimes could be important and vital and sometimes could be distracted and overdone. What is it that I want to do in the month of Ramadan? What is it that I want to leave in the month of Ramadan? And don't wait till the first day. Don't wait till they announce tomorrow is Ramadan. But you start from now. What are my sins? What are my bad deeds that I will stop bi-idhnillah when the month of Ramadan comes? We begin now, inshallah. To be successful when the month is there. So that now you're not struggling with your weaknesses, but you're building your strength when the month of Ramadan comes. You start with your weaknesses right now. What is it that I want to leave? You start making dua, Ya Allah, help me leave this thing. In Sha'ban and in Ramadan as well. Hopefully even after. But at least our plan is, once the month of Ramadan comes, I'm not going to be worried about this sin, bi-iznillah. Because I practiced in Sha'ban. I'm not going to be worried about these bad habits, or these bad sights, or these bad friends. Because alhamdulillah, I distanced myself from all of this. And I practiced, and I'm getting ready. I'm not going to start thinking about what dua am I going to be making. Because I've been making dua in Sha'ban. I've been knocking on the door. So that in the month of Ramadan, I know what I want to say and I can say it more easily. I'm not going to start thinking about how much of the Quran am I going to read, where am I going to read it, when am I going to read it, and then waste a couple of days in Ramadan. I'm not going to do this because I've done all of my homework before. I know how much I can read. I don't know when to read it. I know my capacity. I know how much I can add to it. I practiced. I rehearsed. And now my iman is better, my religion is better, my iman is higher. I can do more in the month of Ramadan. So if you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you in the month of Ramadan, for it to be, as some have said, the harvest of hasanat, the forgiveness of the sayyiat, the transformation of yourself, oh, you need to transition. You need to rehearse. And the rehearsal for the month of Ramadan starts from now. So alhamdulillah, you're fortunate, you're lucky. This is the beginning of the month of Sha'ban. And you have, alhamdulillah, more days to come where you can start pivoting towards the month of Ramadan, pivoting towards Allah and forgetting about the lifestyle that we had. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen our iman and resolve so that we would get ready for the month of Ramadan. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه وأصلي وأسلم على رسوله محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. An added virtue in the month of Sha'ban is where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, يَطَّلِعُ اللَّهُ إِلَى خَلْقِهِ لَيْلَةً نِصْفِ مِنْ شَعْبَانِ فَيَغْفِرُ لِجَمِيعِ خَلْقِهِ إِلَّا لِمُشْرِكٍ أَوْ مُشَاحٍ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the night of the 15th of Sha'ban looks at His creation and He forgives them all except two. Mushrik, one who has shirk, and mushahin, one who has enmity between him and his brother, or between him and his sister. He forgives all of humanity, except those who have not fulfilled the conditions of forgiveness. And subhanAllah, there is something, you know, to think about, that Allah had put this again before the month of Ramadan comes. Here is your chance to get ready for the month of Ramadan and receive the forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jal. It's open, it's available to everybody. You just need to do what? Fix what is between you and Allah, and fix what is between you and humanity. And when you do that, you receive Allah's forgiveness and you're ready for what will follow. The month of Ramadan and the bounties that are in it. The first of them is that how are you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Internally and externally. Do you worship Allah alone or do you associate others in that worship? Are we praying for Allah alone or not? Are we fasting for Allah alone or not? Do we love Allah more than anyone else? Fear Allah more than anyone else? Rely on Him more than anyone else? So as you are going through Sha'ban, you are trying also, and your eye are at both goals, the 15th and Ramadan, you're trying to fix your relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. Get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In whatever way and in every way possible, you want to get closer to Him and cleanse and free your ibadah, your life of any shirk, any dependence on anyone else except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to ask Allah. If you want to rely on someone, rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everyone else and everything else is secondary. But that's not enough. Shahna also has to go away. If there is shahna, enmity, hatred, friction, because of worldly reasons, between you and your brother, between you and your sister, something that Allah hates, has no justification for it. Even if they made a mistake, it does not matter. So you're not talking to each other. You don't say salam to each other. There is this hatred in your heart towards this person, and they have the same towards you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to be right with them, so in order for you to receive forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, here we are mending our social relations. We're fixing all of them, so that you're ready for the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He did not say only be right with me, but be right with humanity as well. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَخْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, love them, forgive and forget. Don't you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you? So if you're asking Allah and you're thinking of asking Allah in the month of Ramadan and in Sha'ban, Ya Allah, forgive me. How could you ask for forgiveness and you're not willing to forgive someone else? And the offenses that we commit against Allah are greater than anything that any human had committed against you. And the frequency of our offenses are greater than anything another person has committed against you. So if you want Allah to forgive you, even if you're in the right, if you want Allah to forgive you, you have to be the person who picks up the phone, who goes to their home and say, this is the month of Sha'ban and the month of Ramadan is coming. I don't want us to have this friction anymore. Forgive me and I want to forgive you. And I forgive you, but forgive me please. And when they see that attitude from you, they will have no option, that humility, they will have no option but to forgive you. And then you'll be ready bi-idhnillah for Sha'ban, for Allah's forgiveness in it. And you'll be ready for the month of Ramadan. So it's important, brothers and sisters, to say in conclusion, it's important to understand that the preparation for the month of Ramadan does not start on the first or the second or the third day or the first week of Ramadan. If we have done that, then we are late and we have squandered a day, a valuable day that is not going to repeat itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives people every day of Ramadan. Why are so many of us, why would be so many Muslims on the Day of Judgment unforgiven? If every one of us has every day of Ramadan to be forgiven, why do some Muslims go to hellfire? This is because we've wasted Ramadan. We've wasted its days. Don't say I've lost the first day, I have the second. The first day could be the day where Allah would forgive you. You do not know. The second could be the day where Allah would forgive you. You do not know. Allah may need you to seek forgiveness every single day so that He will forgive you at the 30th or the 29th. You do not know. So if you want something valuable, you have to pay the price. And you want something valuable, which is your own salvation. This is more important than saving for a house, more important than applying for a job, more important than getting married. This is your salvation and the salvation of your family and your friends around you. So if you want your salvation, you have to pay the price. And the price is, get ready for the month of Ramadan in the month of Sha'ban. So think about it. What do I want my Ramadan to look like? What do I want to be doing in it? What do I want from Allah in it? What dua am I going to be making? Think about all of these things. List them down. Write them down even. And then start applying each one of them in the month of Sha'ban. In proportion. It doesn't have to be exactly with the same intensity as the month of Ramadan. But at least you start. With sadaqah you start. With the daily Quran you start something and you're consistent with it. With your salah, the obligations, more of them in the masjid. Add now the sunnahs to them. Add prayer, night prayer, even if two or four or whatever rak'ahs. Add few rak'ahs. Salatul duha. Increase your ibadah. So that when the month of Ramadan comes, you say, well, I have all of this already. And now I can even add to it. Now I can even do more. But if you start the month of Ramadan with a zero tank, you won't be able to fill it with much. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful. Ya Allah, we ask you that you bless the month of Sha'ban for us. Make us, Ya Rabbal Alameen, of those who got ready for the month of Ramadan in the month of Sha'ban. Make us, Ya Allah, get ready for it with Quran, and with salah, and with charity, and with qiyam, and with dua, and with dhikr, and with whatever pleases you, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Make us of those whose dua is accepted in Sha'ban and Ramadan. Ya Allah, grant us the life so we will be able to reach the month of Ramadan, and to be forgiven in the month of Ramadan. Ya Allah, make us of those who cleanse their hearts and bodies from shirk, and cleanse their hearts and bodies from enmity, so that on the 15th of Sha'ban we are forgiven when you look at us, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Ya Allah, we ask you that you bless us and accept our dua and accept our good deeds and bless our families and bless all Muslims, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, forgive us all of our sins, those that we know about and those that we do not know about, and grant us a sincere repentance so that we stay away from the haram, we stay away from our bad habits, and we get closer and closer to you. Ya Rabbil Alameen, strengthen iman in our heart so that leaving the haram is easy. Ya Allah, grant us the halal substitute so that it's easy for us to leave the haram and adhere to the halal. Ya Allah, strengthen iman and your love in our heart and the love of your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our hearts. Allahumma atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab an-nar. Allahumma inna ala dhikrika wa شكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل، ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل، ونسألك الخير كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم، ونعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم، ونسألك من خير ما سألك عبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. اللهم أدخلنا الجنة أجمعين، واغفر لنا ذنوبنا كلها ما علمنا منها وما لم نعلم، وارزقنا اللهم توبة نصوحة، وآتنا لسانا ذاكرا وقلبا طاهرا وبدنا مطواعا على طاعتك. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث، أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين، وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله.